Praise God. Amen. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. How's everybody this evening?
Yes.
Blessed of the Lord. Amen. You glad to be here?
Yes.
I am. Can't think of any other place I'd rather be, right? You glad to be here?
Yes.
You're glad I'm here, right? Amen. Praise God. You know, as we were singing, you know, those that got words from the Lord, I heard this in my spirit. As you rejoice, you will step over into my presence, and in my presence is the fullness of joy. So as we rejoice, we'll step over into his presence as we do. And so, yeah, you're going to start in the natural. But as you do, as you rejoice, you'll step over into his presence. And in his presence is the fullness of joy and peace. But you're going to have to do something with your lips, with your body, with you. You can't sit there and wait for him to give you his presence. Yeah, we'll sense his presence, but you'll step over into his presence as you rejoice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to express and say so. Amen. Sometimes folks sit there, you know, we've seen that. They just sit there and watch everybody else praise the Lord. You're going to miss out. You're going to be, you know, it's like folks sitting at the table eating, go, man, this is good food. Oh, my God. I'll watch you eat. You're going to miss out on a good meal and some tasty food. Amen. It's his presence you'll miss out on. Amen. Anybody visiting with us here for the first time? Amen. This evening? Anybody here? No? All right. Praise God. These seats are full, you know. Amen. Glory to God. Seats are full. Bank accounts are full. Everything's full. Overflowing. Amen. And I rejoice. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm going to continue in this series of messages on praise and thanksgiving and worship, at least for tonight anyways, and we'll see what happens further down in the month. I'll be in Pennsylvania next week and I won't be the week after. I guess we share that, right? We share that? We didn't. It's right here. Where's Dee Dee? She not here? Okay. That's my hand. Huh? She's hiding. Yeah, okay. It wasn't because of us. And not this time, right? Right. This is just for your FYI here. Pastor Sarah's 75th birthday will be on Monday, March 19th. She'll be celebrating her 75th birthday. But on Sunday, March 18th, we'll acknowledge that. And so we'll celebrate that with her. And so we will be having cake and a beverage reception at 4 p.m. in the Warwick Room. So that'll give you time to go eat and come back for dessert. Amen. All right. For those that would like to participate. And in order to assist us in preparing for that, we encourage you. We're going to have a sign-up table out here. It doesn't require you, but what it does is gives us an idea of just how many people intend to come so we can have an idea of what to purchase. And Morris Chapman will be in service that Sunday, and also the family from Pennsylvania will be with us that Sunday also. So we're looking forward to that. An eventful date for Pastor Sarah, not just because she's turning 75, but she made 75, And we're going to rejoice and thank God for that, that she made 75. And, you know, with all that has happened, we rejoice. And God's not through with her yet. And we're going to rejoice and thank God. So put that on your calendar, Sunday, March 18th at 4 p.m. in the Warwick Room. So anyways, we're going to continue this evening, and I haven't really gotten a release. When I say a release, just a sense that we should shift gears here, and I guess that's the best way to say that. I just don't have a release. And when you don't have a release, you keep going, and you keep looking to the Lord for material to share. And that's what we're going to do this evening. We're going to continue, and I'm just going to pray and open up. And how many have learned anything from just listening and feeding on these messages and maybe changed some habits that we've had? I'll tell you, when I've had an opportunity to go, blah, 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 you know, about something, instead of that coming out, praise comes out, and I'll say, thank you, Lord, I thank you. And so it's a change of habits, and all of us, I know, are not there yet, because the flesh wants to say stuff and do stuff. The flesh wants to get upset about things, but we have a choice to make, and all through life, we're going to have choices to make. But how wonderful it is that I can bless the Lord and give him honor and boast in him and magnify him. And as I do, and we're going to look at some scriptures tonight just to remind ourselves that this is just not a nice thing to do. This isn't something you just read and go, oh, isn't that nice? Sure, praise God, we'll do that on Sunday. No, this is something we're to do at all times, continually. So that means when you get up in the morning, as you go through your day, you don't forget to thank him. You don't forget to keep him on your mind and to thank him as you go through the day. Even it may be hectic and it may be full of activity and things that may weigh on you, but that's, to me, is what we're going to talk about tonight, is things will weigh on an individual, but where is that going to affect your soul, your mind? And if we let it, it can affect ultimately our thanksgiving. So if we let things weigh on us and we don't look to God, if we keep meditating on things like that, if we keep holding on to thoughts that come, it can affect us in what we think and how we act, how we talk, and we can release some words that are not thanksgiving. And so we need to remind ourselves of that. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together to meditate upon your word and to feed upon it, and not only feed upon it, but do it and exercise it. And as we do, it'll become easier and easier every time that we make a choice to praise you and thank you instead of complain and grumble, or to talk and look at the situation and feed upon it. When we make a choice to turn direction and change our direction and change what we say and how we talk about it, we're going to put into practice a lifestyle of blessing and praising you. And we thank you, Father, that we can walk in the supernatural all the time as we praise and bless you. And Father, we look to you tonight. We ask you for your assistance. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to energize and to anoint these proceedings. And by faith, we agree that these meetings, these sessions are anointed of you. And we thank you that from these lessons, revelation will come that will help us change our thinking, change our lifestyle. And Father, as we do, we'll be a great powerhouse and force in this area and in our lives and in our homes. And Father, we give you all of the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's open our Bibles this evening to John chapter 3. And verse 16, and I'll read 16, 17, and 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And let's turn over to Psalm 34. And let's read verses 1, 2, and 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. And as we said, this is not just in your mind and in your heart, but it's where? In your mouth. And that's good to have it in your mind, and it's good to have it in your heart, but it's got to come out of your mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise. Praise is going to be where? Not just in your mind and in your heart. It's going to be in your lips and in your mouth. And it's going to be released in this atmosphere. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I wanted to just look at a few scriptures this evening. Let's, since we've read this, let's read John chapter 4, and let's look at that scripture again. John 4 and verse 20 through 24. It says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, you know what's interesting? I always like sometimes, been noticing more so lately, how the Holy Ghost emphasized the writers or inspired the writers when it said true worshipers. It didn't just say the worshipers shall worship the Father, and he said the true worshipers. So that means that if he needed to emphasize that, that means there must have been those that weren't. That weren't true worshipers. So we can see here that a true worshiper is to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And I read from the Living Bible. I like this particular rendition or this translation. It says, but say, tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped. Jesus replied, "The time is coming, ma'am, when we will no longer be concerned about whether to worship the Father here or in Jerusalem." I like this. This is the part that I really like here. "For it's not where we worship that counts, but how we worship. Is our worship spiritual and real?" That means genuine. So instead of spirit and truth, he said spirit and real. "Do we have the Holy Spirit's help? For God is spirit, and we must have his help to worship as we should." That's the part I like. We need the Spirit of God's help in everything that we do, and especially in our worship. You can't do it by yourself. Otherwise, it's fleshly. And as I shared, you may start in the flesh. And don't get hung up on that. We said, if you start in the flesh, that means at some point, you get over into the Spirit, but you're always looking to God for his assistance in your worship. So the source is not fleshly, even though our worship is expressed through this flesh body. The source of our worship, the help, the assistance is coming from God. Hallelujah. It's not fleshly. It's not carnal. It's spiritual. Even though we start over in the flesh, at some point, the Spirit of God helps us, and we get over in the Spirit, and we get into his presence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so, spiritual people, as we shared before, as we keep our minds on spiritual things, and as we meditate upon spiritual things, and we exercise those things, we become more spiritual. And we're more sensitive to spiritual things. So we can grow spiritually. And as we feed upon the Word and we exercise the Word of God, we become stronger in our spirit, and we're more aware of spiritual things. Hallelujah. And you know that. I know you know that, but I'm just saying it again. I like to hear myself say it, and I like to hear it because it reminds me, buddy, don't stop feeding on the Word. Keep exercising the Word. And even if you don't see the results, you keep feeding, you keep feeding, you keep exercising, and your spirit is becoming more aware of spiritual things. Hallelujah. Not duller, spirit, more stronger, if there's such a word. I just made it up. Amen. I know all you English people said, "What was that?" Amen. But we said in the other lesson, if you're not worshiping in spirit, the opposite of worshiping in spirit is worshiping in the flesh. And that's possible. So, we spent a few lessons, or a lesson, the last lesson, we were sharing about how to identify what's spirit and what's flesh, what's fleshly or what's spiritual, and how to recognize, how to identify that. And I'm just going to highlight that we said, how can you tell if it's spirit or flesh? Well, we went to 1 Corinthians 12:1. We don't have to go there, but it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," but that word is italicized, and it says, "Now concerning spiritual things," is the Young's literal translation, and the Holman Christian Standard Bible says, "about matters of the Spirit." So it goes and it begins to tell you here in these scripture verses that it says, "No man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." So we said, if it's spiritual, it glorifies Jesus. If it draws attention to you, it's flesh. if it's drawing attention to Jesus, if it emphasizes him, if it glorifies him, it's spiritual. Wow. So you can keep that in your thinking. And we said what's also the difference between what's spirit and what's flesh. We went over to 1 Corinthians 14, and we said in verse 3, it says the same thing in the first verse, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, which is italicized. But when you look at the Young's literal, it says pursue love, seek earnestly the spiritual things. See? So it's talking about spiritual things. And in verse 3, it says, but he that prophesieth. Now again, just because a person prophesies doesn't make you a prophet. You're being used by the Holy Ghost. And although a person could stand in that office as a prophet and prophesy. Just so somebody who may be listening may think that because of I'm prophesying, I'm a prophet. No, you're not. Verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. So one of the things that we were sharing is that going further is that in the New Living Translation it says, but he who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. And we also shared that the Spirit of God, how do we know it's the flesh or whether it's the Spirit? We shared that you can tell it's spiritual because your spirit, by the Holy Spirit, is quickened. He quickens. So we shared that scripture. It says here in 2 Corinthians 3:6, but it says, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And we went over and we shared some things about that, where the flesh profits nothing, but that which is by the Spirit is quickened. And so we can tell that which is flesh and that which is spiritual. And that's why we said before, you may start in the flesh, but at some point you're going to be quickened as you get over into the Spirit. And you can tell that it's spiritual. Now, if you keep there and it's you don't have an unction and you don't have a quickening, then you need to stop and ask God, what's up? What's going on? You've heard Brother Hagin share this. People would come and they'd ask him to pray. And he said, you know, a few of the occasions that I'm thinking, one in particular, we said this young man was dying. He was on his deathbed. He knelt there and prayed for a while, hours. And he finally said, Holy Ghost, you're not helping me. He wasn't sensing a quickening. And the Holy Ghost said to him, and no, I'm not. He said, this man has put spiritual laws in motion, and he said, only he can reverse them. So your prayers, I'm not going to work through. See, so there has to be a quickening, an unction. That's when you know, hey, if I'm down on my knees praying, and I'm not getting a quickening for something, you need to ask God, God, what's up? What's going on? Because at some point there should be a quickening. And then that's what's spiritual. Otherwise, you could just pray and release some words, and if there's no quickening, it's flesh. And there's no results. And that's what happens. People pray things and they just quick to pray and no results, and they're wondering, why didn't this work? No quickening. No quickening. And then the last point that we made is when it's the Spirit, there's liberty. When the Spirit of God is in something, there's liberty. There's no bondage. And of course, we shared the scriptures where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And also Romans 8:1. Now this evening, Let's turn over to Psalm 100. I want to touch on a few points this evening. Let's go to Psalm 100. Since the Holy Ghost spoke some things at the beginning or the end of praise and worship, let's hook up with that thought. I wasn't going here initially, but since the Spirit of God spoke during our praise and worship, at the conclusion of our praise and worship, let's look at these particular scriptures. Well, first, back up. Let's go to Psalm 95 first. Psalm 95 and then Psalm 100. Psalm 95, looking at verse 1. And I want to highlight a couple of things the Spirit of God says in this particular scripture verse. It says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us," and I want you to look at this, "let us come before his presence." That's what I wanted you to see. His presence. "Let us come before his presence with" what? Thanksgiving. That's what I wanted you to see. You can step over into his presence with thanksgiving. And that's what the Spirit of God is saying tonight. Come into my presence. And you can do that with thanksgiving. "And make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is great, and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is also his," is his also. "The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and" do what? Bow down. When you worship, you bow down. "Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice," and I believe it says, "harden not your heart." Yeah, I don't have that here, but that's what it says. Let's, the point here that the writer, the Holy Ghost, is saying is that this should not be mournful. This should be thanksgiving, should be a joyful sound, and that'll bring us right into his presence. Psalm 100. It says, "Make," King James Version, "make a joyful noise." Who? "Unto the Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness." Oh boy, we gonna stop right there. "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before" what? "His presence." See? His presence. "Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter in to his gates with thanksgiving." Oh yeah, we can just enter in with thanksgiving. "And into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him." Remember we were reading in Romans 1:21 where God darkened their foolish hearts because they weren't thankful. Well, this says here, we're to do what? We're to come before his, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. "Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Now, I've got some other translations here. Boy, I'm telling you. Listen to the Message translation. Now, nobody preempt me, because I know somebody's got a message here. Don't get excited, but I'm telling you, it's good. It says here, on your feet now, applaud God. Listen to this. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourselves into his presence. Ooh, glory to God. Sing yourselves into his presence. That's what the Holy Ghost is saying. Sing yourselves right into his presence. Why are you not? What are you doing outside his presence? You're sitting there going, oh boy, this is tough. This is hard. Glory to God. God's getting me through this. You sing yourselves right into his presence. And in his presence is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Know this, God is God. Oh yeah, I like that. God is God. And God, God. He made us. We didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password, thank you. Oh yeah, I like that. Enter with the password, thank you. Oh yes. Make yourselves at home, talking praise. Thank him. Worship him, for God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. Hallelujah. The Good News Translation says, sing to the Lord all the world, worship the Lord with joy, come before him with happy songs, not mournful songs, not sad songs. Happy songs, joyous songs. Hallelujah. And the Amplified says, enter in to his gates with thanksgiving and a thank offering, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful and say so to him. Yeah, I like that. Be thankful and say so to him. Yeah, thank you, Lord. I thank you and I say so. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say so. Let's turn over to 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. First Chronicles 16. Now I've got a particular verse I want you to look at, but let's first start at verse 23. Verse 23. Everybody get there? Okay, the rest of you, you'll catch up. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Oh, look at this. Oh, yeah. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord. And what? Greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Now look at this. This is the verse I want you to look at. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Oh yeah. And you can enter into his presence with thanksgiving. What did the Message Bible say? It said, sing yourselves into his presence. And this said here, in his presence is glory and honor and strength and gladness. Praise God. Now, this is the Amplified of that verse. It says, honor and majesty are found in his presence. Strength and joy are found in his sanctuary. The New Living says, honor and majesty surround him. Strength and joy fill his dwelling. And all we have to do is sing ourselves right into his presence. The good news says, glory and majesty surround him. Power and joy fill his temple. The New International Version says, splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy is in his dwelling place. Hallelujah. So when we sing ourselves into his presence, we're going to get filled with joy. Hallelujah. Full of joy. Now, let's spend a few minutes. I haven't started my lesson yet, by the way. I'm serious. 1 Corinthians 15. This was the lesson tonight. Anyways, somehow that's what happens when the Holy Ghost gets in the middle of a service. Praise God. First Corinthians 15, 57. First Corinthians 15 and verse 57 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I like about this? It didn't say he gave us the victory. It said he giveth us the victory. Present tense. And if you look that up, the word giveth, it's a couple of things that are noteworthy. Giveth, it says here in the Greek, to supply or furnish. It says of one, it says to give something to someone. He gave something to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us what? The victory. And that word victory, this is what I like. This is what I'm talking about. The victory. Listen to this definition. This is just in the Strong's. It says victory, but it also says this. To utterly vanquish. Oh, yeah. To utterly. Utterly. You know, we say that real proper. Utterly. That means kick somebody's B-U-T. T. And another T. Yeah. That means to utterly vanquish. And vanquish means to subdue completely. To subdue completely. To defeat in a conflict or conquest. To gain mastery over. So he gave us the victory. The utter conquest over him. So then I ask, what are we doing hanging out over here in moaning land? Why not get over into his presence with thanksgiving? What are we moaning for? He gave us the victory. He gave us the utter conquest over Satan. He's defeated. He is defeated. Now, the other translations, the New Living Translation says, but thank God. This is 1 Corinthians 15, 57. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have it. We have the victory. Now you say, well, some don't look like they do. Some don't look like they have the victory. Some don't talk like they have the victory. Some don't sound like they have the victory. Why is that? Well, Let's take a look. Let's go over to Romans and just take a peek here. We were over here the other day. Romans chapter 8. I tell you, the next time you want to moan or complain, the next time you want to talk about your job, the next time you want to complain about some little test you're walking through, sometime next time you want to complain about your family, your husband, your wife, your kids, think about it. Just think. Do I want to complain, or do I want to sing my way into his presence? I'm going to do that. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do what? Mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, so that they that are after the flesh cannot please God. And I read from the Good News Translation on Sunday. It said, those who live after their human nature those who live as their human nature tells them to, have their minds controlled by what the human nature wants. Those who live as the Spirit tells them to, have their minds controlled by what the Spirit wants. To be controlled by the human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. You know, let's look at a simple example. And I've heard so many people share this. People that are trying to lose weight have said, I've looked to God to help me, to show me what to eat and what not to eat. See, now that becomes spiritual. But when you say, gotta have it, what is that across the street? What's that place that I have a name for it, but I'm not going to use it? It's called, I won't use the name. I'll give you the phrase they use, what you crave. Well, you already know what it is. I won't eat there because I don't crave it. And if you don't know what it is, then you'll figure it out. Ask your neighbor. I don't crave it. And see, it's that kind of thought stuff that gets in people. I crave that. I gotta have it, gotta have it, gotta have it, gotta have it. Well, when you gotta have it, it's flesh. And it's carnal. If you gotta have anything, I heard Brother Hagin say this years ago. He said, as a young boy, he would walk through and they'd say, you want a soda? And they called them pops back then. Soda pop. You want a pop? Sure. And every time they'd walk through town, want a pop? Sure. And he started finding himself looking forward to having that soda pop. Gotta have that pop. Gotta have that pop. And finally he said, no, I'm not going to have that pop because that thing does not have control over me. Because if it does, we got a problem. If that thing has control over me, then my spirit doesn't. Then my flesh has control, not my spirit. And here we've got a situation where the Holy Ghost, who lives in us and expresses himself through our spirit, we're yielding to the flesh when we let fleshly desires dominate. And not the Holy Ghost. And so we need to look to those things, and instead of saying, I got to have that, well, do you now? When you say got to, I'm going to start asking myself the question, was that God-inspired or my own desires, my own fleshly desires? And so we need to think about that, because that could be your undoing in anything. Pastor Clinton used this term. I loved it. He said, you find a person that's undisciplined in natural things, and you'll find a person that's undisciplined in spiritual things, because you can't separate the two. You find a person that's undisciplined in their natural life, they will be undisciplined in spiritual things. Say amen, because it's so. Because I have found in my own personal life, if I get over and I'm undisciplined in a certain area, it will affect you spiritually. You may not agree. You keep doing that undisciplined lifestyle, and you'll see. But you don't want to. Just take my word for it. Now, 2 Corinthians, let's look at this just shortly. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're talking about, we just got done there looking at Romans chapter 8, about the mind being controlled by what the human nature wants or by what the Spirit directs us or the Spirit wants. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. See, that's the key. Through God to what? The pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, or my margin says reasonings, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing in to captivity every what? Thought. That's the thing right there. The thoughts to the obedience of Christ. And when we, you know, we're talking about praising and thanksgiving and worshiping, but when we find a thought that does not want us to enter into his presence with thanksgiving, cast it down, because it is not of God. I don't want to praise. I don't want to clap. I don't want to dance. I don't want to open my mouth and pray. I'm tired. I don't feel good. And the thoughts will come. I want to just lay down and go to sleep. I'm tired. But his word says, in my presence is fullness of joy. And that tiredness and all of that anxiety will go, it'll just lift as you sing your way into his presence. But you've got to cast the thoughts down. You've got to say, no, God said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into my courts with praise, be thankful unto him and bless his name. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to sing my way right into his presence and bask in his presence and get the strength and get the joy and get the peace that I need to walk through this. But I'm going to cast down the reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I'm going to do that. I have a part to play here. So those times when I don't want to, and I get home or I get up in the morning, and I'm like, okay, turn the cover over. I just don't want to think about this. No. When you open your eyes, you start to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Get up, You may walk and bump into something and kick your toe and stub it as you're going along. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm not going to grumble or complain. I'm going to bless the Lord and thank Him. Amen. Amen. I'm going to open the floor for a few minutes for questions tonight. I'll do that this evening. I'm going to unhook here this evening. If anybody has a question or a comment, we'll open the floor. If not, we'll dismiss. But I know one thing for sure, that as we look to Him, He is going to give us the assistance and the help that we need to bless Him and to praise Him when we don't want to. And one of the things, let me just share this. If you go over to James chapter 2, James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And when you look at when you don't feel like praising God, when you don't feel like lifting up your voice, we're to look to who? The Spirit of God for assistance, for help. But what you've got to do is not just stand there and hope He falls on you. This says right here in verse 2 of chapter 4 of James, it says, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and obtain not and cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. You've got to ask. You've got to ask for the Spirit's help when you're worshiping. You've got to look to Him. Lord, help me. He already knows you don't want to worship Him. He already knows you're tired because He knows what you're thinking. He already knows He lives in you. He already knows, I'm tired. I don't want to be here. I really want to be home. And I'm tired. And I got 99 other things to do. He already knows that. He already knows that. And He knows what you're thinking. So what you need to do is just say, you know what, Lord? You already know what I'm thinking. You know I don't really want to praise You tonight, but I love You. Please help me. And ask. Just ask Him. See, some of us are sitting there going, I wish it would lift. I wish I get. You need to ask for the Spirit's help. And He will get in the middle. Now, you've got to do something. You can't, after you ask, you can't sit there and go, okay, I'm doing nothing. No, you got to lift your hands by faith. You've got to open your mouth by faith. And if you have to dance by faith, then He'll get in the middle of that and begin to do what? Quicken it and energize it. And then you'll get over in the Spirit. And all of that stuff, you get over in the Spirit, you go, what the heck was that bothering me? Man, I'm over in God's presence. I forgot. But you see, you've got to ask, and this is another scripture verse I looked up. Listen to this. This is in Psalm 10, verse 4. It says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. See, and that's a lot of times at the heart of it. We're just prideful. I'm tired. I really don't want to be doing this. So out of the pride of your countenance, you don't ask God. We've all, you know, people go there. And it said, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. See? So we could find ourselves over there where he's not in our thoughts. You're thinking about the pot roast. You're thinking about the pork chops and the dinner you're going to have and the guests and all of that. And you completely forget about God. Or we're going to have some affair or whatever after church. So that's where your thoughts are. And he's not in your thoughts. See? We've all been there. I have. We've all been there. Got my mind on something else other than God. And you're like, hey, what are you doing? You know what I mean? What are you doing? Get out of the ditch. Come over here where I am. Now, I know we don't go here. This is Psalm 14. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, we know that we're not that foolish. We are definitely not that foolish. But some of us have not sought God for his assistance when we don't feel like doing something. And because of that, we hinder us getting into his presence with thanksgiving and praise. Amen. Amen.
No, Pastor, when we were talking earlier, I'll just share part of that conversation. We were talking about the scripture in 2 Corinthians 10:5.
10:5.
About casting down imaginations.
Right.
And while Pastor and I were talking about it,
we did? I don't remember. Yeah. Were we talking about that?
Yeah. Well, you probably remember when I say this.
Okay, right.
Okay.
Maybe it was a quick conversation. Okay.
Well, we talked about a lot of things.
That's true. Okay.
But with this scripture, and I heard myself saying to you, you know, one of the dangers of murmuring and complaining is because we'll start seeing what God said is a vain imagination.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I remember you saying that.
And,
yeah.
And we right. won't believe. We right. will believe because we'll be focusing on symptoms.
Yeah.
We'll start believing, well, maybe healing's not for me yet.
Yeah.
Just because we're focusing on it.
Yeah.
That's why we have to jerk. Sometimes we have to jerk the slack out of ourselves because there may not be someone there to give you that holy boot to get you going. And we have to realize, you know, what am I saying? Of course God's word is true. And of course the healing is mine. We have to make a conscious choice to listen to what we're saying. It's very easy to ease over into a pity party. And if you just stay there, I'm telling you, you're going to start doubting God's word. And it will become a vain imagination to you.
Yeah. Now, just think about this. And I was thinking about this scripture here. And we'll close with this in Matthew chapter 4. And this is where Jesus was led up of the Spirit out of the wilderness. Or into the when he fasted for 40 days. Came out of the wilderness. But in verse 8. It says, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him. I'm sorry, that's not the place I wanted to be. I'm sorry, it's Matthew. Another scripture. That wasn't the scripture I was thinking of. I'm sorry, it's Matthew 16. Wrong place. Sorry, Matthew 16:21. And says, starting in verse 21, it says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must, so he's, you know, here he is, he's showing them, the master, Jesus, the Christ, is showing his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Who's sharing this? Jesus. He's revealing to them, his disciples. Then Peter took him and began to do what? Rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Let me ask a question. Let's just stop and think about this just for 1 second. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life." He said, "The things that I say are from my what? My Father." So he disclosed all of that to his disciples. And here now Peter wants to rebuke him and say, "Far from thee, Lord." And what did he do? See, that was a thought that was being thrown at Jesus. And he said, "Get thee behind thee, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." So he right away began to talk about fleshly and spiritual. And I can tell you, you're going to have options and opportunities when God has said something to you or revealed something to you in his word, and somebody, whether it be a doctor or a friend or a mate at home, say, "Well, you know, what about, you need to just, I'm not telling you to call a person Satan, but I'm telling you, you need to make a choice at that point whether you're going to embrace that which comes through them, which may not be inspired of God, and what God has revealed to you. You have a choice right then. And that can mean the difference between life or death. And you need to think about that. When it doesn't line up with something in God's word or what he has spoken to you, you need not embrace it. You can just say, "No, thank you. I pass." Amen. Well, I'm finished for this evening, and praise God. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. I will rejoice, and I will rejoice. Hallelujah, in the Lord. Hallelujah. If there's no questions or comments, then we'll close, and we'll see you all when we see you. Well, Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word that has energized us. Thank you for your word that has worked in us, Father, and the praise on our lips that has energized our spirits and our flesh this evening. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for energizing these words that have been spoken. Thank you, and we receive them as life to our spirit and bread to our spirit, and we thank you that we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. And we thank you that you've given us the victory through our Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you and we rejoice this evening. We give you all of the glory, all of the honor in your precious name. Amen.